Diary, blessed with all spiritual blessings. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California. June 10, 1903. The Apostle Paul had received many revelations from God. His judgment is reliable, for it was formed under the teaching of the Holy Spirit. The knowledge he imparts is pure, elevating, ennobling. He speaks decidedly, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." Philippians 3, verse 8. To the Ephesians he writes, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are of Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself." Ephesians 1, verse 1-9. The whole of this first chapter of Ephesians contains precious instruction for every soul. A remedy for spiritual blindness. We are to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn how to be like him. "Learn of me," he says, "for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Matthew 11, verse 29. We are not to brood over the inconsistencies of men whose minds are perverted, who are self-confident, determined to carry out their own way. Such men have always been found among those who are carrying on the Lord's work. Though they lack wisdom to see the practice the truth, they consider themselves to be rich and increased with goods. When you are brought into connection with men who try your soul by holding back and hindering the work which God bids you carry forward, men who refuse to follow the light of God's word, do not condemn them. They are on the side of the enemy, deceived and led by Satan. They should be pitied. Pray for them that the Lord will open their yes by anointing them with the heavenly eye salve. But if they refuse to be converted, they should not be left to guide the flock of God. Christ is the light of the world. "He that followeth me," he says, "shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." John 8, verse 12. Those who allow Christ to anoint their eyes with his eye salve will clearly discern spiritual truths. No longer will they see as through a mist, walking uncertainly in the sparks of their own kindling. They will have a divine knowledge of Christ formed within, the hope of glory, their wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Concerning alternations in the Review and Herald, August 3, 1902. I have been asked by many, in regard to the changes made in the Review and Herald, why there is on the first page illustrations, sometimes of a heathen deity, or of some celebrated man who was not a Christian. Some who love the truth say, "We are not pleased with the new arrangements of the Review." Can Sister White explain the reason for these changes? Of course, she was consulted in regard to the matter. Are we to have in the front of our paper pictures of heathen deities and of men whom God regards as unwise? Men who, exalting human science, refused to receive Jesus Christ? I tell them that I had nothing to do with the change, but I was not consulted in regard to the matter. Those who had control of the paper followed their own judgment. I have never expressed any opinion in regard to this change, although many have asked me in regard to it. I could have told them, however, that the suggestion was not from the Holy Spirit, but was simply human judgment, and that, whether or not it was so designed, it stands before the world as a parable. This action is similar in principle to the one taken when the book Bible Readings was placed in the field to the exclusion of Great Controversy, a book that would have acted a prominent part at that time in convincing many that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, set apart as a sign to distinguish between the people of God and unbelievers. My soul is troubled in regard to the change made in our church paper. The Lord has shown me that this rearrangement is an acted parable. The articles containing the special light for this time are not easily found. Those who have made these changes know not how the Lord regards their action.
I was instructed that men who are opposing the truth would interpret this parable to the people. I saw Elder Canwright holding up a copy of the Review and Herald before a congregation and telling them that the messages of Ellen G. White were now regarded by most Seventh-day Adventists in the manner indicated by changing them from the first page of the review to the middle of the paper. It was the Lord's purpose that the first article in the paper should be written by the one who, in connection with Joseph Bates, was one of the first in establishing the work of Seventh-day Adventists. The Lord would have it known to the world that she still bears an active part in communicating light to the people of God. The action taken in placing before these articles the editorials has not been pleasing to the Lord, but it has pleased the enemy of righteousness and truth. This action has spoken louder than words to hundreds, saying that these articles are less esteemed by some than are the editorials which are now given the precedence. August 24th. Yesterday the Lord gave me strength to speak in the Sanitarium Chapel to a company who listened with interest. I spoke from the first chapter of 1 John. Professor Beardsley was present and led the singing. He gave some instruction regarding pitch and emphasis. He gives valuable help at our meetings, helping others to improve in their singing. To my surprise, I was unable to present the subject on which I had intended to speak. I was led to speak of the obligation resting upon every one to strive for the mastery over self, refusing to be led by inclination or selfish desires. Called to service. It is not position or influence, but obedience to the principles of truth that makes a man of value in the sight of God. We are not to thwart God's purpose for us by seeking to follow our own ideas. We are to be learners, searching the Scriptures. By the prayer of faith, we are to present our necessities to the Lord. As God's little children, we are to ask Him to guide us into all truth, that we may walk worthy of Him who has called us to glory and honor. Receiving help from God, we are enabled to go on from victory to victory. Paul's greatest joy was the knowledge that his converts were standing fast in the liberty of the gospel. His greatest desire for them was that Christ should be formed within, the hope of glory. What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing, he wrote to the Thessalonians. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19. To follow Christ means to suffer with Him. This we must do if we would share in His glory. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Our great teacher has left us a perfect example of self-denial and self-sacrifice. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Verse 3. To every man God has given his work, God's work, and man's work. Ye are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. We are carefully to consider whether we are doing the work God would have us do in his service. In the case of many of us, much of life has already paced it away. Have we done all that we might have done to save souls ready to perish? Day after day is passing into eternity. Are we improving the opportunities that come to us to speak words that will lead others to take an interest in their own salvation? Are we making straight paths for our feet, lest the lane be turned out of the way? God calls upon us to watch for souls, as they that must give an account. August 25th. Yesterday with its record has passed into eternity. Brother Beardsley came just as we were going to the station to meet Brother and Sister Jones, so we invited him to accompany us. This is the first opportunity I have had to visit with Brother Beardsley. We had a profitable conversation with Brother Jones. The time was quite fully occupied in considering matters regarding the publication of my books. I was much pleased to hear that the talk I gave in the Sanitarium Chapel on Sabbath was to many souls a leaven of truth. One brother who was present had been contemplating entering a worldly business. He was halting between two opinions, undecided whether to give his efforts to the work of soul saving or whether to enter business. He has now decided to take up the work the Lord has for him to do, and he is very thankful for the light that has shone upon his pathway.
I now understand why I was unable to present the subject I had in mind. This brother had, in the providence of God, been led to the sanitarium to hear that which the Lord led me to speak. God will lead our minds if we will submit to him. We should have full confidence that after we have asked God for light and instruction, he will guide and lead us, if we are willing to follow him. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Psalm 27, verse 1 to 5.